From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nitsko, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third for the inside. Then it's Gilbert Guard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I'm high atop the finish line at Aqueduct Racetrack in South Ozone Park, New York, down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, where he is almost every Saturday morning. It's the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. A lot of finality to 2018 this week on the network, the final Equine Forum of the year, and I am happy to be filling in and broadcasting with my tag team partner. Tons of fun. One more time in 2018. What's happening, Jude?
Yeah, this is it for tons of fun.
This is really it for 2018.
Yeah. No, everything's great here. Beautiful morning in Lexington. It's about 32 degrees and going to be a nice day. Blue skies already this morning. So I'm liking this weather currently. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful morning here, too. A little little mild for this time of year. Sun's up in the sky. I'll tell you what, though. Yesterday afternoon, and you and I talked about this a little bit on Express Bet Radio, a little bit on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, how the weather up here. We got two stakes that we covered on the Weekend Stakes Preview at Aqueduct today, the East View and the Alex M. Robb, how the weather might affect it. The rain that fell earlier yesterday was supposed to stop at about 1. It didn't stop till about 4:30, 5 o'clock. It was still misting when I got out of here at 6:15. And I guess it's quite fitting that one of the big storylines here in New York, certainly this year, was the weather, especially the second half of the year from, say, Saratoga on. And one more bout of rain, a couple of more sloppy tracks seems like the right way to send out 2018 here in the Big Apple.
Yeah, it's been that kind of a year, not only in New York but other places too. We lost a lot of grass races this year to the weather, and hopefully we have a better situation in 2019, because I like the grass races.
Yes, I know you do, and we'll take a little trip back through 2018 this morning. We'll look ahead to 2019 as well. A good way to send off the Equine Forum into the 2018 sunset. John Service, he has a couple of runners at Laurel in the stakes today, one down at Gulfstream Park. John will join us. He, of course, trains Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies winner Jaywalk. We'll talk to him about his big filly and the runners he has in today. Our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, is in the can. The Great Race Play Santa Anita got themselves a brand spanking new announcer. It's my main man, Frank Miramati. And Frank joined us for a few minutes yesterday before Express Bet Radio to talk about his new gig. He'll be our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Brian Bouillet from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. I know, Jude, you're pumped up about this. Foal Patrol began yesterday for the second consecutive year, and Brian will come on to talk to us about Foal Patrol and some of the things going on up at the Hall of Fame up in Saratoga Springs, right across the street from Saratoga Racecourse. Heedley Bell will talk to us about Oscar Performance and Keep Up over at Mill Ridge Farm as they have our Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence a little later on this morning, and we'll wrap it up with the one and only Larry Colmus, the voice of the New York Racing Association, the Triple Crown, and the Breeders' Cup. He literally has seen it all this year, including the 13th Triple Crown winner in our sport, and Larry's been fortunate enough to call the last two Triple Crown winners, and Larry will join us to wrap the show up. Not unexpected that he would like the last segment so he can enjoy his beauty sleep.
Yeah, well, Lord knows he needs it.
Lord knows he needs it. This is correct. So we got a fun morning planned. I know the Baron likes his poll questions, so we'll give you one more. Everybody this time of year starts with their New Year's resolutions. And quite frankly, June and I have talked about this. It's a little boring because it's the same nonsense every year. I'm going to lose weight. This is me every year. After the holidays, that's it. I'm doing an impersonation of myself at this point. After the holidays, that's it. I'm going to lose some weight. Going to stop betting on bad horses. I'm only going to bet. I'm going to be more selective. I'm going to start walking. You know where I walk? I walk to the window with a pepperoni sandwich in my hand to bet a 8 claimer at Gulfstream Park. That's what I do. I'm done. I'm done with the resolutions. But I want to know if you, HRR Nation, have any horse racing resolutions for 2019. I don't want to hear about the losing the weight. I don't want to hear about treating people better. We all know it's not happening. Just tell us about your horse racing resolutions. Maybe you're going to try a new wagering strategy. Maybe you're going to play different wagers. Maybe you're going to scale down your wagering. Maybe you're going to, this is the year you're going to really step it up and try and beat the races or beat a race. Let us know. Hit us up at HRN on Twitter, and we will read some of your tweets and discuss them throughout the program. Any racing resolutions for the Pontiff?
Basically, I'm gonna just try to stick to what I do best, grass racing and that type of thing. I've really gotten good at passing races. If I have to, work too hard on a race and nothing's coming to me, I just move on to the next one. There's plenty of races I'm playing every day or close to every day. So if I pass a race, it's not going to be the end of the world, and I'm just going to stick to that.
I really am going to try to be more selective. And I've tinkered with another thing, and you pretty much have given me the, doing Express Bet Radio with you for the last 6 months, you have a lot more winning days than me. And I don't begrudge anybody that. I'm glad for you. You're one of my, closest confidants and friends. I'm glad you win. But I realize that part of the way you win, and I know your betting strategy, part of the reason you win is because you bet to place as well as to win. And I'm actually considering diving into that place pool. Because I do think my opinion is good enough, and I do think that I blow a lot of big prices because I'm stubborn and I don't bet to place. So I'm thinking that might be the thing that I changed the most about my wagering strategy in 2019.
Yeah, well, when you play price horses like we do, I mean, we very, very rarely, I mean, I think you might have bet on a 9-to-5 shot yesterday, which is like so rare. It might be the only one you've bet on in the last 6 months. But when you play horses that are, 10-to-1, 12-to-1, 15-to-1, and they run second, and they pay 12 or so bucks to place, you might as well take advantage of that, because that's like betting on a 5-to-1 winner. And I find that it keeps your head in the game more. You don't get as, upset when you get beat, and you maintain your capital. You get your money back to play with, and so I think for me, for my personality, the way that I am, that's important. So, I like it, but it's not for everybody. I understand. Some people like to, instead of betting a place, they'll play a couple of exacta boxes or whatever, which is fine too. Mike Maloney, who's one of the biggest players in Kentucky and maybe in the United States. You know, he likes to take his key horse and put him with three or four horses in the exacta, or maybe just two, whatever he thinks, you know, and that's how he backs up his wagers, and he's very good at that. So, you know, you just go with what fits your style, but I think it's a good idea.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll reconvene and talk about this on February 1st and see what kind of trouble I've been getting myself into. Anyway, let's get the morning started. We'll take our first break. And when we come back, trainer John Service talks about his stakes runners today, as well as his top juvenile filly, Jaywalk, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies champion. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
FDB stands for Flashy Debut Breakthrough.
Free Drop Billy is on the move, needs to find a seam, and splits horses decisively. Free Drop Billy, who wins it by 2.5 in the end.
FDB stands for Fast Dirt Brilliance.
Into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by 3. Bravazo in second, but no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it.
Free Drop Billy, Union Rags' only Grade 1 winner at stud. New for 2019 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Jaywalk. Jaywalk comes into the final furlong, opening up a two-length lead. Restless Rider is second. On the inside comes Vibrance in third. Bella Fina is back to fourth. Passing the 16th pole, this filly can cross wherever she wants. Jaywalk is a Breeders' Cup champ. She won it by 6 emphatic lengths over Restless Rider. And then it was Vibrance in third, and Bella Fina was fourth.
Back on Breeders' Cup Friday, Jaywalk led him on a merry chase under Joel Rosario. Gave John Service a Breeders' Cup win in that juvenile fillies. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRR. And nice enough to join us now is my man John Service. He's got stakes runners at both Laurel and Gulfstream today. Hey, John, thanks for joining us this morning on the program.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Doing good, my man. How are you doing? How's the big filly doing?
She's doing good. She's doing good. I'm actually up north right now. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow morning heading south. lay eyes on her again, but my son tells me she's doing very good.
Yeah, that was a couple of fantastic performances. First, across town here at Belmont in the Frisette, and then, of course, at Churchill Downs for the Breeders' Cup. At what point did she kind of tout herself that she was going to be a good one, John?
Well, she's always trained well from the beginning. I mean, we've liked her all along. You know, obviously, we hoped she'd be as good as she is, but we didn't know. But, you know, like I said, she's trained well from the beginning, and her first effort was a very good effort, even though she got beat, and then she came back off of that and rattled off some wins.
Her race in the Breeders' Cup was so visually pleasing. I mean, I imagine it was for you especially, but I mean, what a tremendous performance. Just so effortless, so smooth. Were you expecting that?
No. You know, going into the Frisette, the race before Delaware, which was 5.5, you know, there was some wicked speed in the race. So she got outrun a little bit early and settled nice off the pace and then ran them down through the stretch. So when we stretched out to the Frisette, I looked at the race, and I thought there was some speed in there, especially inside of us. And, I'd mentioned to Joel that, you know, I thought that there was plenty of speed in here, and our, you know, best bet probably be just sit just off of him and ask her when he had to. He left there, and she left there running and put him on the lead, and that was it. Just carried him around there.
Yeah, she was good, and the same thing essentially in the Breeders' Cup. You have an outline as to, I mean, I would assume the Kentucky Oaks is the main early goal of the year. Do you have an outline as to how you want to get her there?
Yeah, she's been back in training a few weeks now. She hadn't breezed yet, so we're probably going to miss the February race at Gulfstream, which I think is the Devonta Dale or the Forward Cat, whichever one it is. So we'll probably go into one in March, which is a flat mile, and then you know, see how she does there, and you know, if everything goes well, we'll probably do either the Gulfstream Oaks or the Ashland, and then the Oaks. Everything goes as planned.
You have, of course, had all the success with Smarty Jones back in 03 and 04, Derby win, Preakness win. How was it getting that Breeders' Cup win?
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's something I always wanted on my resume, and I had only run in it one other time, and it didn't work out well. And I don't like to go to any of those races unless I feel I have a legitimate chance. And I went in there feeling like we had a legitimate chance. So to get the job done, and have her run the race she did and come out of it the way she did, and all, it was very pleasing.
Action today at both Laurel and Gulfstream for the John Service Barn. You'll kick it off with another nice little two-year-old in the Heft, race number three, Press Virginia, two-year-old gelded son of Blame. Boy, he's done nothing wrong in his first two starts, huh?
No, he hasn't. I mean, you know, he's a nice little West Virginia bred that we bought at Keeneland. And, you know, he started to show some talent, you know, probably about 2 months into his training. And I took him to Penn National and ran him for the simple reason that I had a couple colts for the maiden race here that were pretty nice, and I didn't want them to hook into each other, so I took him to Penn to try to, you know, get his maiden out of the way where we could start managing him a little bit. And the race, the first night he was in, they canceled the races, and then they brought the race back the night of all those stakes. And the race actually came up very tough. It was a pretty salty maiden race for Penn National. But, he won, and he ran a good number. And I think the horse was second and third. Both came back and won their next starts, one at Laurel and one at Penn. And he's training well going into the race. I don't think it's an easy race. I think it's a pretty salty race, to be honest with you. But he's doing good.
Yeah, it's an excellent card at Laurel today. They put on some nice races for the end of the year. If I was anywhere in the area, I'd be going to the races today. Pretty nice group of horses.
They got a really nice card there.
So let me ask you this, and I know that won't be the case today because I'm sure he's in South Florida, but when you get into the paddock and you send your saddle on one, you got to look over and see that other service guy. talk about that a little bit, huh? What a year.
He's having a tremendous year. I'm so happy for him, too. I mean, he's worked really hard to get where he's at, and we run against each other quite a bit, and we bust on each other all the time. You know, if I beat him or if he beats me, just as an example, one day I had a first-time starter in, and he won the race, and I finished second, and I text him after the race, thanks a lot, or something like that, and he goes, well, I owed that to you for beating me last week, and I said, yeah, but I'm not going to get 6-1 again on my horse. we root for each other, and when we run against each other, we bust on each other if we beat one another. But really happy for Jason. I mean, he's put together a serious stable, and he's got some really nice horses, and he's had a tremendous year.
You know, I'll always be the I'm team service. Both of you guys are friendly with both of you guys, but I know you a little bit longer. I just like to point out that the service we're talking to this morning, and not too shabby either, 25% on the year, over 110 wins. A fantastic year for your barn as well, John.
Thank you. Well, we've had a great year. I mean, I almost hate to see the year come to an end. It's been such a good year, but I've got the clients that let me do that. I have some really good clients that give me the opportunity to put some nice horses in the barn, and they want to concentrate on nice horses. The horse isn't going to be a good horse. They want to move them on and try to have a solid stable, and the results are showing.
Yeah, that's great for a trainer when you have owners that understand that they want to have Saturday horses and the other ones they can run where they belong and take that money and do something else with it. You picked up a nice filly in Tricky Escape that's running in the Via Borghese today at Gulfstream. I really like this filly. I've liked her for a long, long time. She's a hard trier, but she's a little quirky. How's she doing?
She's doing okay. She's actually scratching today. Lynn Ashby had her previously, and Lynn and I both trained for John Marshall, the owner. And I didn't get her. She didn't come to me until a couple weeks ago. And he really wanted to try to run in this race, but she hasn't acclimated enough. And I explained to him, it's a lot easier coming from the warm weather going to the cold than it is going from the cold to the warm. It takes them a little longer to acclimate to that. So, unfortunately, we're going to skip today and then look for another race down the line.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing to do because it's so hard. You can't, and it's hard to explain that to people how tough it is to like ship into Florida and run good. You gotta have them down there for 3 or 4 weeks before they're really ready to roll.
Yeah, and you got to get them clipped right away, get that hair off of them, and the warm weather. They're not warm weather animals. They love the cold weather.
Right.
So, the warm weather is a little harder on them, and it takes some time to acclimate.
We were talking, it's funny, John, we were talking about this on the afternoon program yesterday, how Jude, he had liked the horse coming back up from Florida. You remember this, Jude?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You had liked the horse coming back up from Florida. I don't think people realize, just how much you guys and gals have to think about, and that's a great thing. And for somebody like you who does operate up here in the Northeast all winter long but have horses down in Florida.
Well, again, like I said, it's so much easier to come out of the warm weather to the cold. I mean, I've had some horses in Florida that, weren't getting in or races didn't go, and we've shipped them back north and run them within 2 weeks, and they've run great. Where you can't do that, the horses leave parks and head south. You're looking at least 30 days before they're really acclimated and settled in.
I hope somebody told DiCarlo. I don't want to hear him complaining on Twitter. You got a couple of fillies later on down at Laurel and Race 7 in the 38 Go-Go. How about that condition? That little perk to get the breeding season to Dortmund. Kaleem Shah donated that. That's in the condition Jude pointed out yesterday. Miss Avalon will break from post 3 with Trevor McCarthy. And you also have Modacious from post 8 with Frankie Pennington.
And there again, you know, Modacious spiked a little temperature and left some feet, so she's going to be a scratch.
Okay.
And I'm actually putting Frankie Pennington back on Miss Avalon because he knows her and he's ridden her, and the owners really wanted Frankie. But so unfortunately, Modacious is scratching. Frankie's back on Miss Avalon, and Miss Avalon's doing great. I just don't know if she's good enough. I mean, that's the big question. Her last race was a big effort from her, but it was against PA Breds. So, you know, certainly a step up, and we'll see how she handles it.
Well, John's become like Equibase this morning. He's given us the scratches and changes of both Laurel and
he's way better than Equibase.
Unfortunately, it's dwindling my date down pretty good. So.
Talk about Frankie Pennington for a minute. He does such a great job for you, and he's kind of like a little secret.
Well, I mean, he's certainly not a secret around these parts. I mean, he's been leading rider here for, I think, 5 years in a row, maybe more. Young rider, very, very patient. You know, he has the patience of a saint. He sits, he waits. You know, he knows where to put a horse. He can tell if a rider in front of him's got some horse. You know, then he'll tuck in behind them, knowing that, you know, sooner or later he's going to get out of there because the horse in front of him, you know, is still in hand. And he's a family man. You know, he comes to work, gets his job done, goes home. You know, that's he's not out running around. And he's a true professional. He really is. He's a really good kid. And he rides awful good. And the results show it.
Yeah, you guys have had some fantastic success down in that Mid-Atlantic region in the last two calendar years, and we got a couple of days left here in 2018. You guys hit a 27% with over 220 mounts. That's with a positive ROI, and of course, if you gamble, that's what you're worried about. So you can make some money with a couple of guys who know what they're doing, Frankie Pennington and John Service. John, thanks for some time this morning. Hope the holidays were good. Have a great new year, and look forward to seeing Jaywalk back in the entries in the spring.
Happy New Year, gentlemen, and thank you very much.
All right. John Service. Well, he's only got two left in the stakes this Saturday at Laurel. Just goes to show you, right, Jude? He's four entered. Two of them got to come out. A million things can happen going into a horse race.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Tricky Escape, you know, that's totally understandable to me. I mean, you know, you can't even ship from California to Florida without acclimating, even though it's warm in both places. When you go to Florida, it's so steamy down there that the horses really take a hit. And so that's a very wise course of action. And unfortunately, sometimes when they don't eat up, you can't run them. Something's bugging them. So,
yeah,
you know, he absolutely knows what he's doing, and it just goes to show that even though he's got horses in several places, he's got his finger on the pulse of his stable, and what a tremendous career he's had.
And Jaywalk has one more race left, technically, in 2018. We'll see if she can win that Eclipse Award for two-year-old filly over the incomparable Newspaper of Record, Turf versus Dirt, down at the Eclipse Awards in about 3 weeks. Time now here on the Equine Forum for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
Quote, "He was a man, take him for all in all, we shall not look upon his like again. Let the autumn wind harp on the dropping leaves, her soft requiem over him. Let the winter's purest snow rest spotless on his grave. Let spring entwine her brightest garland for his tomb, and summer gild it with her mildest sunshine, and let him sleep embalmed in glory," unquote. The man being profiled in this piece was a personification of the American success story of rags to riches. No better example can be found in any field of human endeavor. His career as a breeder, developer, and master salesman of both standardbreds and thoroughbreds cuts a broad swath through the annals of racing history. For 11 consecutive years, he was the nation's leading owner and breeder of horses, winning races that were bred on his farm. He was born December 28, 1856, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and he was the oldest son of a family that came to these shores from Roscommon, Ireland, in the mid-18th century. As a youth, he, being the oldest son, had to learn to fend for himself very quickly, and as a result developed a marvelous physique while excelling in boxing, swimming, running, and jumping. In his later years, he became quite friendly with the likes of Bob Fitzsimmons and Gentleman Jim Corbett, and he was a sparring partner for the legendary John L. Sullivan. He had many early trials and triumphs while overcoming many obstacles and barriers before moving to Kentucky as still a young man with limited resources, to say the least. There he purchased a few horses, and a legend in its own right was incepted. In time, he was involved in breeding, selling, and racing horses on a small tract of land along Winchester Pike in Lexington. This was the beginning of the building of a historic farm, which he named after a superb thoroughbred he raced in the late 1890s. That farm eventually spanning 2,000 acres of the beautiful bluegrass. He became a world-renowned breeder and stuck to his guns during the time when racing was in some jeopardy early in the 20th century. He was constantly encouraging young farmers to go into the breeding of thoroughbreds. Because of these activities and his virtually unbounded charity and philanthropy, his mark became very deeply emblazoned on the pages of the history of the thoroughbred world. He was a deep thinker indeed and an ardent student of bloodlines, and he coined the following phrases, quote, "No foot, no horse. Opinions die, records live." As to size of horses, well, many big turnips are indeed hollow. Frequently I hear of a horse being called a quitter, or that he stops. This is, after all, a recommendation for a horse, since it is our aim to breed very fast horses, and only very fast horses stop and quit. Five Kentucky Derby winners first found the light of day at his farm, Old Rosebud, Sir Barton, Paul Jones, Zev, and Flying Ebony. He also bred and raced the likes of Princess Doreen and Sir Martin. The latter in his time was the only American horse ever to start as the favorite in the English Derby. As you drive out of Lexington along Winchester Pike, there is a slight elevation that slopes to and faces that road from the farm. There's a plot of ground there enclosed by a stone wall shaped like a horseshoe, and there are buried Plotted, Starshot, Ogden, and others aptly marked by gravestones, and a separate enclosure for Nancy Hanks, the famous mare, with a granite monument. The farm, Hamburg Place. The man, having been profiled, died in 1929 at the age of 72, but the legend lives on. He was truly a giant in his time and was known as the Wizard of the Turf. He was John E. Madden.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man. A precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Farage Farage, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war. We'll take charge of Final Man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Fortin Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Catholic Boy. Catholic Boy has taken the lead on the outside. Mendelssohn is full out toward the rail. It's five lengths back to Bravazo, who's now third. Then Vino Rosso and King Zachary on the outside. They're coming down to the 16th pole. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers. Mendelssohn was second, Bravazo was third, and King Zachary was fourth in 201.94.
The Midsummer Derby, the Travers went to Catholic Boy. Back-to-back grade ones, one on turf, one on dirt. Don't see that too often. We saw it in 2018. At Belmont up at the Old Spa. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Just want to remind you, the horsemen who ran Kentucky Breds at the recently concluded fall meet at Churchill Downs were well rewarded with additional funds from the success of Derby City Gaming made available to the KTDF. Maiden special weight races were worth a record $76,000, and allowance races ranged from $78,500 to $90,000. This year, the fall meet at Churchill Downs was anchored by the Breeders' Cup World Championships for a record-equaling ninth time. The two-day event featured 13 Grade 1 races with purses totaling a record $30 million. Kentucky Breds continue to make a big impact on the racing scene here and abroad, and it's important to remember that unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky Bred Group winners are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide. It pays to breed and race in Kentucky. Great year for Kentucky Breds. Great year overall. In 2018, Jude, and obviously when we have a Triple Crown winner, the year's automatically going to be somewhat special.
Absolutely. I think it was an excellent year for racing. We had a lot of exciting races and tremendous horses, and we got some nice two-year-olds heading into their three-year-old year, and it's a good time to be a racing fan. Things are looking up, I think.
We saw some real special, you know, we talk about, of course, what Justify did, and, you know, now we have two Triple Crown winners in 4 years, but we saw some sensational singular performances, I believe, as well this season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a tendency to lump horses into categories, whether it's basic things like sprinters and routers or age groups or, you know, whatever, and but there always seems to be horses that appear on the scene that you know, sometimes they change direction of the way people feel about a division or, you know, any particular group at your local track or whatever.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, Ed DeRosa, my partner on the BridgeNet.com call-in show, always jokes around with the racing is dead hashtag. And, you know, they talk about 28,000 heading out to Santa Anita on opening day and 35,000 heading out to Oakland on opening day. And I think we're trajecting the right way.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the fact that the crowds aren't as big is a function of the fact you can bet every day, you know, on your computer. You can watch the races on television. So obviously, especially in the high traffic areas like New York and California, to a certain extent, Florida as well, you know, you're not going to have as much on track attendance because of the time factor. You know, you just can't spend 2 hours out of your day, going to a racetrack and then 2 hours coming home. I mean, that's a big chunk of time. It's 1/6 of your day in the car to go to the track. And, you know, you can do that once in a while when you have some free time. But like if you're trying to play during the week and you've got a job and you've got other things to do, you know, it's tough to get to the races sometimes because of the traffic in certain locations, you know. And then you've got, you know, tracks like Oaklawn Park who don't have that problem. You know, Fairgrounds to some extent is that way. Monmouth Park, some of those tracks, you know, it's easier to get to them. There's not as much traffic, and the attendance is usually very good at those tracks. So I think you have to look at the big picture, and you know, I'm kind of guilty of the fact that, oh yeah, we used to have 26,000 people at Santa Anita on a Wednesday. But it, you know, in those days when that was going on, it wasn't you know, a 2 hour commute from the west side of town to Santa Anita, and you know, it's a whole different ball game right now.
And look, we live in a completely different world, right? There are so many more ways to spend your entertainment dollar. Just how it is,
right?
You know that, and you know, some of the things, and there's nothing that could be done about, right? I mean, yeah, maybe 30 minutes between races is excessive, but you can't, if you've ever been involved in running a racehorse or have watched the workings of a racetrack, you can't conceivably do it with less than 20 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, you're chopping an hour off your day, but again, what I used to enjoy about the track was it was a 5 hour day. That's what you did for the day.
Right.
Right. People want to rush in and out of here. And, you know, I don't get it. That's the beauty of simulcasting. That's the beauty of ADWs. If you don't want to spend 5 hours here, 6 hours here, you can go do whatever you want. And, you know, I tell the story all the time. Christine and I were at a New Kids on the Block concert at Hershey, Pennsylvania in 2006. It was a festival. I didn't want to see the first four acts. I jumped on my phone and watched Frosted win the Whitney and played from Hershey, Pennsylvania with a strawberry non-alcoholic daiquiri in my hand. I mean, you do what you have to do, obviously, to stay in touch with the sport, with what you love, but you know, it's a convenience. And like you, you know, I remember being a little kid, being a young kid and coming here on a Saturday and there being 45,000 in the middle of January. Parking the car on the other side of the Belt Parkway on the and taking the bus. We rarely had to do it. But, you know, and taking the bus over the overpass. You know, for somebody like me, it's different too because I grew up here. This has been my home track my whole life. I've lived in the same house a mile from here. I learned how to drive in this parking lot. So, yeah, it's different when you come in here now and there's 5,000 people here on a Saturday, 6,000 people on a Saturday. But the handle tells you otherwise. The handle's never been higher. So,
right.
We're doing something right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in the sport. I think, you know, American Pharoah certainly helped that along too. And now we had Justify on his heels, and all of those things contribute. And certainly racing has a lot more coverage. We have less turf riders. We have more people on Twitter, however. So, you know, if you're a racing fan and you have a Twitter account, you realize how much people discuss racing day in and day out, every day. People are on Twitter talking about how to make the sport better, what they don't like, what they do like, you know, their favorite horses, all of that stuff. And that wasn't going on when we were kids, you know. I mean, the only place you talked horses was at the races. And thankfully, you know, there were a lot of people there to talk racing with. But now you can talk racing with people all over the world. And you acquire friends in other locations. And, you know, sometimes a European horse comes over here. And if you know somebody on Twitter, you can ask them about the horse or you know, find out what the competition's been like that they've been running against. And all kinds of cool things you can do. You can bet on races in Hong Kong, right? You can follow Jenny Chapman on Twitter, and she puts out two picks every time they race in Hong Kong, and she does a great job. She's excellent. And, you know, I mean, that wasn't going on when we were kids. I mean, I remember the first Japan Cup. That was a big deal back in the day, right? So,
yeah.
It's a whole different game now, and I think a lot of it's better. I mean, sometimes us old guys, you know, we long for a happier time, and we're full of you know what. So, I think it's good. I think the sport's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's take a break. When we come back, the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, is Frank Miramati. We'll hear from him, and we'll kick off hour number two with Full Patrol and Brian Bouye from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for all of racing's biggest events.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Racing fans, it's the final Grade 1 of the year, the $300,000 American Oaks, Saturday at Santa Anita, as three-year-old fillies go a mile and one quarter on turf. Don't miss opening weekend at the Great Race Place. In addition to the Grade 1 American Oaks on Saturday, we'll also pay tribute to the legendary late Hall of Fame trainer Bobby Frankel with the Grade 3 $150,000 Robert J. Frankel Stakes for fillies and mares at a mile and one-eighth on grass. Please note, we'll also run on New Year's Eve, Monday, December 31st, and we'll ring in the new year with the $75,000 Joe Hernandez Stakes on Tuesday, January 1st. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at three, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As the field comes with a quarter of a mile to go, Calixman is still the leader, and he shakes loose to be in front by two to Nero in second. On the outside of them comes Bobby's Wicked One, now trying to put in a rally. McKenzie is starting to storm home in the center of the track. There's an eighth of a mile to go. Calixman is the leader. Here's McKenzie finishing strongly on the outside, and he goes right on by. Still having fun, moves through along the inside. Axelrod, Identity Politics. It's McKenzie in a dominant performance, pure class in the Malibu. Identity Politics wins the photo for second. Still having fun, and Axelrod, we're in that group as well.
McKenzie, a rollicking winner of the opening day feature of the Grade 1 Malibu. You heard my man Frank Miramati on the call. He's the new voice of the Great Race Place. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRN. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Joined, as always, by the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. Yesterday afternoon, we had a chance to catch up with Frank Miramati, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Here with the Industry Star of the Week, Frank Miramati, presented by Stuart Morris. Frank, congratulations on the new gig out at the Great Race Place.
Thank you both very much. It's quite an honor, and that's an understatement.
What was opening day like, Frank?
It was all I could have hoped for, and maybe 100 times more. I think that part of the excitement and just the lead up, there was a lot of emotion, and there was a lot of anticipation and nerves. Once I got to work, I felt comfortable. I was on the seminar in the morning, and I think that loosened me up a little bit. By the time I got to the booth, I could actually hear the bugle going for the first race, so it was a little bit frantic. And that was good. I got my crayons out and started going to work, and I just got into the moment. And it almost felt like the horses left the gate in slow motion. It was for some reason I was expecting horses to be running a lot faster at that time. It was crazy, but it was a lot easier than I expected for the first race, and I was very happy with the way the day went. It could not have gone any more smoothly. It was just beautiful.
Well, you called it Santa Anita before, so it wasn't like you were making your Santa Anita debut. But this is the main gig now, and a lot of pressure because you are the Santa Anita race caller. What was the difference?
It's funny you mention that, because that was a very nice thing to be able to have the experience under my belt coming into the booth. I've spent quite a bit of time here at Santa Anita in general. The experience here was huge for me, because you sometimes have to worry about new angles and situations. Fortunately for me, my favorite race in the world has always been the down the hill race. It's my least favorite race as a track announcer. but we didn't have any of those carded, which was a nice special bonus for me. It felt amazingly good and nice and just adrenaline filled. And I was glad I had a few races before the big ones come up. And, you know, as with everything, as a perfectionist, I'm a guy that really loves to have everything go exactly the way I wanted it. There are some calls, as always, you want a little bit better. But if someone told me later, listen, here's exactly what's going to happen. Here's every call, and, you know, you can't change anything. Would you take this? I would have taken it emphatically. And you always want to do better, but I felt like I did a good job, and I was, you know, relieved and excited, and the adrenaline was incredible. I couldn't get to sleep till past 1 o'clock at night, in the morning, I should say. And I was very lucky that we had the day off right after that, because I was like a horse that tied up. I could barely move when I got out of bed. It was just that. I've never been more drained in anything I've ever been involved in than that whole experience. But I would have to say it was the best day of my life, actually.
You mentioned the seminar, Frank, and the plan is, correct me if I'm wrong, the plan going forward is not for you to just be the voice of the Great Race Place of Santa Anita, but you're going to be doing a lot more interactive stuff with the fans and more of that handicapping as well to be the actual face of the place.
They want me to get involved. I think in general what they want from me is to just share my love for Santa Anita, interact with fans. They put a camera in the booth, which proves that anything is possible, because we all know I have a face for radio. But whatever they want, I'm going to do. If they want some handicapping, I'll give it to them, you know, interacting with the fans. It was great. I went to leave some passes for some people, and there was a big line outside, and I had a chance to see so many fans and to just hear their warm comments to me and welcoming me home. And it was like out of a movie. The whole thing was just, it was very difficult to believe, yet at the same time, I very much believe it. And I was able to bring everything in. I took it all in. I was looking around. And, a friend of Luke Kreipas's, the late Luke Kreipas, who was such a great guy, wanted to see me before the first race no matter what. He's been a good friend to me, and he wanted to see me. And I said, look, you could see me right now at the paddock as I leave this thing, but you have to be there. And for him, it was just he wanted to basically wish me well the same way that he had done with Luke many years ago when he got his big job at Churchill. And for me, I enjoyed the fact that I was able to help him fulfill that situation and to let him experience that moment more so than for me. It was for him, and it was kind of a way for him to release that emotion. And so I was very grateful to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Whenever you have a chance to make somebody's life, you have to take it.
Yes, that's what it's all about. It's all about experiences in life and memories. And that's, you know, that was a day that it was a huge day, too. We had a tremendous crowd, great racing, awesome racehorses. Everything that we could have dreamt of took place here at Santa Anita.
Frank, 2 years ago, you're laying in one of a number of hospital beds, recovering from life-saving surgery. You had been from Oakland to Monmouth, the tryout at Santa Anita, Golden Gate, here at the Big A at Aqueduct. What price are you to be the announcer opening day of the 2018 meet at Santa Anita?
It would have to be 99 at that point. I mean, and because 99 doesn't, you can't say zero because it happened. But other than that, you and I would have taken all the action we could have gotten on the other side of that with a cigar in our mouth, thinking that couldn't possibly happen. You know, when they wheeled me in, I'm a believer in the Lord, and I said, Lord, if this is it, I totally understand. And that's, you know, that's what I came to terms with. When I went into that 5.5-hour surgery, I knew I was in big trouble. I didn't realize maybe the extent of it, but I just had a feeling, the look on the doctor's face who came and saw me before, the way he was explaining what was going on, I knew I had some problems on my hand. And then to know 6 weeks later I had to go for another surgery and then go to Memorial Sloan to get the rest of it. When you start hearing about it being in other places, that being cancer, it's not a very good sign. Stage 3 doesn't leave you a lot of stages. And so the whole situation, you couldn't, if you were trying to be creative and you wrote a story and you, people would say, like, all right, listen, that's a little out of control. We believe in fiction, but seriously, just you got to cut this down a little bit. This is so unbelievable that it just shows you have to believe in miracles. And I do believe in miracles, and I know a lot of people have prayed for me. I believe in the power of prayer, and I'm just wanting to make every day a holiday, and I just have the right attitude coming into this opportunity. I know that this is an absolute gift, and I know that I have to work even harder than I ever have. And that's a challenge, because when you're calling it a big circuit, just like I was in New York, you realize these are, you know, big time fans at every level that are, you know, wanting to hear the accurate and good calls. And there's been a tradition of excellence, and I have to maintain that with every ounce of energy that I have.
Take it all in, Frankie. Did a great job. Congratulations. Enjoy all the success. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate both of you.
All right. Our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, Frank Marimatti. Some story, Jude.
Yeah, it's amazing all the things that happened to him in a short period of time. And he's such a great guy and seems to take everything in stride. But you know he was concerned about himself, which is a rarity for Frank.
Yeah. Amazing story. Glad to see him. And you can catch him each and every race day at Santa Anita, the great race place. Big old long meet out in Southern California now with the new landscape out in the Golden State. An exciting first hour in the books. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Monoboy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizu. Monoboy Girl has won the next stamp.
Justified from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back, HRN Nation. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network kicks off now. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up at Aqueduct, high atop the finish line. A couple of stakes later on here at the Big A. Down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Broadcast Studios, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. I, of course, am filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Nice enough to join us now. One of the funnest things to come new to horse racing in 2018 was Fall Patrol. And up at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame, Brian Bouillet was instrumental in getting it off the ground and keeping it rolling. And new season, I guess, if you will, Jude, of Fall Patrol kicked off yesterday. You can go to fallpatrol.com. I'm there right now. And Brian Bouillet, the director of the Hall of Fame and of communications up at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame, joins us now. Hey, Brian, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's everything?
Really good.
Everything's well. We appreciate you taking some. I know you're on vacation this week. We appreciate you taking some time out to join us this morning. Hope the holidays were good.
Oh, my pleasure.
Talk a little bit about Fall Patrol. This was the talk of the town and the talk of Twitter and social media last year.
Yeah, we were really excited to debut this last year, and we didn't know what kind of reaction we'd get to it. We figured it'd be popular. We had some big name mares that were on it last year with Stop Charging Maria and Birdtown and a few others, but we were surprised. We had over 1.6 million viewers in less than a year, and just, you know, great reaction from the fans and horse lovers in general, and it was so popular we decided to do a second season of it, and we launched it yesterday, and we've been really happy with the reaction we've gotten from everyone.
right, so explain to folks that are new to Full Patrol exactly how it works. You go to the website, fullpatrol.com, then what do you do?
Sure. Once you go right to the main page, you'll see a collection of menu options right there. And there's nine horses that you can view. There's eight mares, along with a stallion Frosted at Darley. And basically, you can click on any of them, and you'll get to see the live camera feeds of these mares, or in the case of Frosted the Stallion. So, they're on at different times. Generally, they're going to be up for most of the day, but some of them have different schedules. So, if one's not up, you can just click on another one. But the idea behind this, our museum president John Hendrickson, he kind of fell in love with the concept. He remembered all the people watching the thing that became viral in April, the giraffe, of all these millions of people that were just waiting for her to give birth. And, he goes, if people are just going to watch a giraffe stand around, how about horse racing fans would, get an opportunity to learn about mares and their pregnancy and, be able to watch a foal being born. And, he was always saying that, anybody who would watch, a foal, taking those first steps and being welcome to the world, if you're not hooked on, racing and the sport after that, then, you're never going to get into it. So, John Hendrickson had a great concept, and we got great support from, the Jockey Club and Keeneland Broadcast Services, and everybody really helped us out to, make this a reality.
Yeah, it's such a cool thing. And, people ask me all the time, have you ever seen a foal be born, and how can I do that? And I mean, it's so nice to have that availability for people that are new to the game or people that just love animals to be able to go and watch what goes on and see what kind of care these horses get. And I mean, it's a brilliant thing. And I have to applaud you guys for I'm sure it's not an easy thing to do. You gotta have a lot of coordination and all that, but it's really something that racing people and others that are just interested in animals can really enjoy, and it's a great concept.
Yeah, we really wanted to do something that was different. We thought that people who go to the track, they only get to see kind of a certain aspect of the sport. They go and they bet and they get to see all the pageantry and everything there, but not a lot of people had access to be able to see what life is like on the farms of these mares and to learn about the breeding process. And one of our partners is Godolphin, and they've got a great thing on their own website called Godolphin Kids, and they partnered with us. So we can put a little bit of educational value on this, and people are going to have the opportunity to look through blogs every week and learn about different aspects of horsemanship and care and different aspects of breeding, and how farms and owners pick the mares and the stallions that they breed to. So we wanted to give people a little bit of an education too, but even if you're just into it for the simple, I love the beauty of horses and foals, there's something for everybody on here. So we think it's something that a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah. So you're watching Foal Patrol. You become a fan. Is there a way to get hooked up for alerts? Like if a mare's going to drop, do you guys tweet it out? Do you guys send out an alert to let folks know who have been following along the whole time that, in fact, she's about to drop?
There's a button right on the site. If you just scroll down on the main page, it says following updates, and you can sign up. And, all these mares have different times that they're going to be, expected to foal. And, what we'll do is we get alerts from the farm. They'll tell us that, hey, it's expected within 48 hours or expected within 24 hours that the mare can give birth. And what you can do is you can sign up and you can get a direct alert right to your phone that the museum will send out. We'll get you a little text and say, hey, Silver Colors at Gainesway is expected to drop her foal within 24 to 48 hours. So make sure you're tuning in more regularly. We generally have kind of a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Window with a lot of the horses, but once they're within that time, we're going around the clock with them, so we have a different schedule then. So
fantastic.
We're always updating our social media, we're putting blog updates, so you get a lot of different updates on what each of these horses are up to, if they're having a vet visit, or their diet's changing, or their exercise routine changes. So there's a lot of different aspects of this you can learn, but yeah, you can sign up right on fullpatrol.com, and if you're interested, you'll get all that information sent right to your phone.
And you have foal dates from Valentine's Day all the way through May 17th. So the action really won't stop between those 3-4 months. There'll be a lot going on over at Foal Patrol.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was one of the good things about the schedule is, you know, there's a range. And as you know, the foaling season, you know, kicks off in January, and, you know, some of them can go, you know, the owners want to see the horses born as early as possible to get to the races as early as possible. But, you know, it can go through May, you know, but that's a nice window. And you know, once the foals are born, that's kind of where the fun begins in a lot of cases, because you get to see the interactions with the mares, and, you know, once they're born, you get to, you know, see the real cuteness with these foals being born.
I'm fired up that I could watch my boy Frosted for 4 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's, you know, he's definitely the star attraction for a lot of people. You know, obviously he had a tremendous racing career and, you know, a very popular stallion. He did a video for Godolphin, one video last year that they had on their social media that had over 3 million views. So he's got a tremendous following, and to be able to partner with Godolphin is just amazing. Jimmy Bell at the farm is one of our board of directors at the museum, and, you know, we were very, very grateful that they would allow us to put Frosted there. And it gives us a different opportunity to share, you know, obviously we're not going to show any matings with him or anything like that, but to learn about kind of what his day is like and, you know, everything about his career and, you know, the opportunities that, you know, people have to breed to him and what he's like.
Talk about the museum a little bit and how great it is. I was lucky enough to be at my nephew's wedding reception, which was held at the museum. And since you've taken over, things are really moving forward. It looks great in there. It's just awesome. Talk about some of the things that are going to happen in 2019.
Well, I absolutely always love to brag about the museum. And, you know, we've got a great board of directors that's really infused a lot of energy in the last few years. And I've got to give a lot of credit to John Hendrickson. I mean, he's just very innovative and, you know, wants to see the museum not be, you know, kind of sitting back and just, you know, collecting history. You know, he wants us to be what he calls a living museum. And it's very important for us to reach new fans and to, you know, be out there and always doing things. Obviously, Foal Patrol has been a big thing, but, you know, we've added a lot of exhibits. And, you know, the big thing we're working on right now is we're planning for 2020 to have an entirely new modernized Hall of Fame. And it's going to be a $20 million project. And what that entails is we're going to have a new 360-degree signature film. And all of the plaques in the Hall of Fame, everything in there is going to be digital and interactive. So if you want to go up to, you know, Secretariat's plaque, you're not just going to get words. You're going to be able to, you know, go through all of his pedigree, and you're going to be able to play race replays, and you're going to be able to, you know, see what his, you know, career was like and have interviews with the likes of Ron Turcotte, his owners. And, you know, we're going to hopefully be able to have that ready for all of these Hall of Famers. And we really think it's going to be a game changer. We think it's going to, you know, make the museum a destination, not just for Saratoga, but, you know, year round. So we got a big exhibit coming this year on women in racing that's going to debut this summer to track all the history and the contributions that women have made as, you know, owners, as breeders, as jockeys, trainers. So we got a lot going on, and we're really excited about the future right now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the, I won't call them upgrades because I'm an old fashioned. I love the Hall of Fame, but I, and Jude and I were talking about this in an earlier segment, how, you know, the game has changed and the game has moved forward, and I think you have to change with the times and alter with the times, and yeah, bringing that the Hall of Fame experience essentially into the 21st century, I think, is something that's certainly going to help gain some interest as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that's obviously unique about our sport is, you know, for humans, jockeys and trainers, you know, they can be active and still be a Hall of Fame member. So, you know, if you go into the museum right now and you look at Mike Smith's Hall of Fame plaque, you know, Mike got in 2003. And, you know, since then, he's probably had, you know, the biggest highlights of his career. You know, he's had Zenyatta and all these, you know, other great horses, and he won the Triple Crown this year. That's not reflected on the plaque that sits there. Those are the accomplishments that got him in, but, you know, those have been updated and they continue to get updated. And obviously going digital will give us that opportunity to keep updating these for the active guys. And, you know, it's, you know, we think, you know, these guys are the best ambassadors the museum and the Hall of Fame have, because they're still out there doing such amazing things. I mean, you look at Mike Smith and, you know, Javier Castellano and Johnny Velasquez, you know, guys that are in the prime of their career, you know, they're representing. And every time they hear that, you know, on TV, hear Hall of Fame jockey or Hall of Fame trainer, you know, you really, you know, we want to tell those stories and continue to tell them. And being able to go digital and they're interactive is, you know,
it's going to engage a lot more people than just a plaque on the wall as you currently see.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
We're talking with Brian Bouillet from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. Full patrol up and running. Brian, you guys are doing a fantastic job. You come down from that Boston Red Sox high yet?
I'm going to carry that as long as I can take it. You know, it was an amazing season for the Sox, and you know they should be in the thick of things again next year. But you never know; those Yankees are tough, and we'll have to keep battling them for sure. So.
All right. Well, again, appreciate all you do up in the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. Thanks for bringing Full Patrol back for season number two, I guess. Sounds like it really is a reality show, essentially, but an actual an educational one and a productive one. A lot of fun and a good glimpse into an aspect of the sport that is normally not afforded the regular fan.
Yeah, I like the description of a reality show. I mean, I think that's the biggest part of it. You know, each of these horses and, you know, their owners and the people that care for them, you know, everybody's got a different personality, and the horses have unique personalities that you'll get to see on camera, and a lot of great biographical information. And, you know, we're looking forward to a great season of Full Patrol and hope everybody will be able to check it out and, you know, learn something new and just, you know, enjoy the process of, you know, seeing these mares and the foals come along.
Again, Brian, thanks for some time. Just to prove that this sport is, our sport is 24/7, 365. Brian's on vacation right now. He's off this week, and he was nice enough to take some time to talk about Full Patrol. Enjoy the rest of vacation, Brian. Have a great new year. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Brian Bouillet, the director of the Hall of Fame and Communications up at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame. Really do a great job up there, Jude.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. You know, I mentioned my nephew's wedding reception, and we had the whole place to ourselves. I mean, it was so cool to just, you know, walk around and look at all the stuff, and just it's such a beautiful place, and some of the artifacts and you know, paintings and things that they have on display are just awesome, and. You know, I was like a tourist, but I like that kind of stuff. Amazing. Anyway. I'm a history buff, so I enjoy looking at a lot of those things. But it's a beautiful place, and it just keeps getting better. You know, Brian's done a great job, and hats off to John Hendrickson for, you know, spearheading a lot of the stuff too. So it's great job.
Yeah, get over to foalpatrol.com. It's time now for the Bloodhorse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Harper to receive Eclipse Award of Merit. The National Thoroughbred Racing Association Daily Racing Forum and the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters announced December 27th that Joe Harper, who has led the Del Mar Turf Thoroughbred Club over the past 40 years and enabled Del Mar to become one of North America's most successful racetracks, has been selected to receive the Eclipse Award of Merit in recognition of a lifetime of outstanding achievement in thoroughbred racing. Harper, CEO of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, will receive the Award of Merit at the 48th Annual Eclipse Awards, honoring the 2018 champions of thoroughbred racing, January 24th at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Since coming on board in an executive capacity at Del Mar in 1978, Harper has guided the Seaside Track, founded in 1937 along the Pacific Ocean just north of San Diego, through a period of sustained growth and success to become one of the leading facilities in North America. For many core and casual racing fans, Del Mar is considered a must-see destination, featuring an ambiance of casual elegance accentuated by world-class racing and an extraordinarily entertaining customer experience. American racing has the tradition of Saratoga, the history of the Triple Crown, and the majesty of Santa Anita, as well as the unbridled joy of summer at Del Mar, said Hall of Fame trainer and two-time Triple Crown winner, four-time Eclipse Award winning trainer Bob Baffert. Joe Harper is the maestro of that summer celebration, exuberant leader who makes sure every year that Del Mar maintains its special place in racing's heart. Joe Harper is Del Mar. Del Mar is Joe Harper, and no one deserves the Eclipse Award of Merit more than Joe. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Blood Horse, the industry's only weekly magazine that's also available for your tablet and has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years. If you want to follow the sport, the industry, there's no better way than with Blood Horse Magazine. And here's a special offer, HRN Nation. Save 70% off the cover price, plus get a 2019 Blood Horse wall calendar for free. Go to bloodhorse.com/winter special. And follow racing and industry news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app. You can have an email sent to you once a day, or you can listen on your Alexa devices. All are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. I'm sure Joe is someone you've had plenty of dealings with and sounds well-deserving of the award.
Oh, yeah. Joe's just a wonderful guy. Whoever wrote that little bio of him being Delmar and Delmar being him is probably about as accurate as you could come up with. I've known Joe for, oh geez, I don't know, maybe 40 years, and he just loves the sport. His mother was one of the biggest breeders in California for many years, Cecilia DeMille Harper, and his grandfather was Cecil B. DeMille, and you know, he takes racing very, very seriously, and he loves being you know, the man at Del Mar, and he does it so effortlessly. We did one of the nicest interviews ever at the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar with Joe. Joe came on and, you know, he was super busy. I mean, talk about a guy that had a lot on his plate. And he just spent a bunch of time with us and shot the breeze about Del Mar, and so relaxed and just happy to be on the air with us. It was really an amazing interview. And, yeah, I can't say enough nice things about Joe. We go back a long ways.
Well, sounds like he's real deserving of the award. He'll get it in just about 3 weeks. Down at Gulfstream. Let's take a break. When we come back, Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence. It's over at Mill Ridge, and Heedley Bell will join us. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Gulfstream Park's championship meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday, with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th, a program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Deep inside the final 16th, Keep Up, Boisterous, and then Swift Warrior racing towards line. Keep Up, Miguel Mayner. What a great weekend for Miguel Mayner, who takes yet another stakes race.
Oscar Performance has taken the lead in this final furlong, and edge is clear. Staying on is Taj Mahal, a fandom at Sonic Boom. It's Oscar Performance and Jose Ortiz. Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State.
Oscar Performance in front. Oscar Performance and Mr. Havocap neck and neck. And down in third, Stormy Antarctic. But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner.
Oscar Performance has taken the lead after three quarters in 108.36. Oscar Performance a length and a half. Major Look on the outside is second. And then Voodoo Song toward the inside. It's Oscar Performance in front. Oscar Performance wins the poker by a length and a half.
We've seen some good milers the last decade or so. Perhaps none better than Oscar Performance. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I know he's one that's near and dear to both of our hearts. Dude, we made plenty of money with him and loved watching him run.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that he was bred and owned by Ammerman Racing just... icing on the cake, because they've been a big part of my family's horse business for a long time.
Well, Oscar Performance is standing at Mill Ridge, and nice enough to join us now from Mill Ridge is Heedley Bell to talk about multiple Grade 1 winner, Breeders' Cup champion, Oscar Performance. Heedley, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Jude, thank you so much. Anthony, thank you so much. And you are right, Jude. Bob, as you know, has been with the Ammerons for a long time. Bob Feld, your brother, and was instrumental in buying Divine Actress, who's Oscar Performance's mother. And so he's played a huge part. So, yes, your family's been very involved in this whole experience.
He's such a cool horse. And, you know, we heard the call of the poker there. He went 108-3. I mean, how many turf horses can go 108-3 and keep on going? I mean, that's just amazing. He's had tons of major victories. He won the Secretariat and the Belmont Derby at three. Those are probably the two most important three-year-old turf races in the country. The Woodbine Mile, always a great race. I mean, just outstanding. And you couple that with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf that he won it too. I mean, lots of things to like about him.
Well, I agree. We're naturally biased. But, you know, to break a 20-year track record, anytime you're breaking track records, it indicates that you're pretty serious kind of horse. And he was not only able to run the mile, but as you pointed out, to win the mile and a quarter Secretariat and to win the mile and a quarter Belmont, you know, Grade 1 races. And he did something that horses don't do. There are only six horses, Jude, who in the last 50 years who've won a Grade 1 at 2, 3, and 4, and that's included in that group is Seattle Slough and Affirm and Spectacular Bid, and that's some pretty heavy company to be involved
with. That's a litany of Hall of Famers right there.
It certainly is. And he's the first horse ever on the turf in North America to win a Grade 1 at 2, 3, and 4. So anytime you're saying first in this industry, that's a significant accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, you raised him, right? I mean, he was born and raised at Mill Ridge.
We did raise him, Jude, and again, the Ammermans have been friends and clients for a long time, and they have about 12 mares there, and as I mentioned, Bob's played a huge part with them, assisting them with the racing side of things, and picked out Divine Actress as a racing filly. Showed a lot of talent. And so then they come to our place, and we try to do our thing. And fortunately, you know, they're extraordinary people to work with. They love the horse. They love racing. They're all class. In fact, on this horse, they turned down an offer twice of what we were managed to do this horse for from Japan, just to keep him here in America, to give our breeders a chance to, you know, to have something that can be influential over time. And that's the kind of people they are.
Yeah, well, he's got that nice pedigree. He's by Kitten's Joy, the great Kitten's Joy, who's done so much for our sport, and it's going to be wonderful to have him here in the United States. When he was growing up, did you have any inclination that he might be this good?
You know, Jude, you go through and you evaluate your foals, and eventually they become weanlings, and you evaluate those, and you start to kind of grade them out and such. And he was one of the top three yearlings that we had. Actually, he and his brother, Oscar nominated, were top. They were in the top three of yearlings of those particular classes. And so they were always outstanding individuals. And it's interesting because Kitten's Joy kind of has a belief amongst people that he's not the most attractive, not the most correct, doesn't breed the most correct. And when people come to the farm and see Oscar performance, they kind of have in their mind that they're going to see a Kitten's Joy. And their immediate reaction is, wow. You know, this horse is, he's so much more a blend of the theatrical side of things, the Nureyev side of things, and the ingredients that Kitten's Joy provides as well. So he's a very, very attractive horse, correct, and just has tremendous quality about him.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, Healy. Sorry, Jude. When I was in, when he won the Belmont Derby, I was in the paddock, and I remember him walking in. And, you know, like you said, you have those preconceived notions about the Kitten's Joys, and he walks by you, and he literally, he takes your breath away. He is just he's a magnificent-looking animal.
He is, Anthony, and it's such a pleasure to have the opportunity to promote him. Honestly, when people do come out, he comes out, and it truly is. It's everything you could want for. You know, when you're promoting these horses, people find reasons to knock something, and there are a few holes in this horse, which is just, you know, makes it a lot of fun to promote.
What kind of mares are you looking to breed to him? Is there any specific bloodlines that you're personally attracted to go with his pedigree?
You know, that's one of his greatest qualities. Actually, we ran an ad today in the TDN talking about his blend of pedigree, Jude. He's got some of the most foundation horses within his pedigree that you can have. It's extraordinary, really. It's as rich as you could ask for. And for me, he blends with most anything. You really can throw most things at him, and I think, you know, you have the potential to get lucky with him. So I wouldn't even try to narrow it down, because it's just honestly, if you look at his five cross pedigree, you would see the depth of his truly some great, great horses that have doubled up within his pedigree that give you some true rich opportunities within.
Yeah, you know, I'm still thinking back to the I've been trying to rack my brain as to who the others are. That grade one win, and of course, you know, with turf racing becoming a lot more coming to the fore in the States the past couple of decades, that is some accomplishment, a grade one winner at 2, 3, and 4 and that select company. I'd have to think, and obviously a testament to keeping him here, because he was versatile enough, but he was at his best at a mile. And we could use a real good turf miler sire in this country with all the middle distance turf races we run.
Well, I fully agree with you, Anthony. His versatility is, as you know, I mean, he was a miler, yet he would make you know, he'd make the pace and you know, he'd stay the mile and a quarter, you know, and he could go fast, he could go slow, he could stalk, and he'd pounce. He just had the versatility of really a proper horse. It's pretty cool because, you know, as Jose Ortiz's first Breeders' Cup winner, and he rode in the entire his entire career, and really is Jose's favorite horse. And when you're saying something like that for a rider who's touched as many horses as he has, it demonstrates the affection that he has for him and the regard he has for him. And he was just a horse who could really who gave you that thrill, you know. Really, really something very special. We feel very fortunate to have a chance to associate with a horse like this. And to your point, Anthony, really to contribute to the breed. We think there's tremendous opportunity now with turf racing. We feel there's a void for the next – who's going to be the next generation of leading, you know, leading turf stallions. And we love our spot. We've got 20 shareholders that are in on this horse, and so giving him a tremendous chance for success. And so it really is. It's been a while since we've had a stallion at Millridge, and we've been waiting for that right horse, and we're excited with this horse.
Well, best of luck with him, Healy. I'm sure you guys will do a fantastic job. Healy Bell from Mill Ridge Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence. It's all about multiple grade one winner at 2, 3, and 4 Oscar Performance. Have a great new year, Healy. We'll talk to you soon.
Y'all the same. Appreciate the call very much. Best to y'all.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was the thing that was most impressive about the horseshoe. Not only his versatility as far as his distances, but he was able to set these fast paces, these moderate paces, these slow paces. And you don't see a lot of speed horses that are able to do that. They usually just, you know, they can do it one way, not a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, he's very adaptable, you know, and never without.
That's the best word for him, adaptable.
Yeah. Never without a chance. I mean, any race he entered, you know, you had to respect his speed and his tenacity, and didn't necessarily need the lead, but he was often very good when he made the lead. And he's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun to watch his babies run. He's one of those horses that I think is special.
Just a few years away from seeing the Oscar performances running around the good old U.S. Hey, we'll take a break, come back, and the voice of the New York Racing Association, the Triple Crown, and the Breeders' Cup, Larry Comos, will join us to look back on a action-packed 2018. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Eclipse champion Blade is having a breakout year in 2018. Among the nation's leading sires of stakes horses, his recent top runners include Fault, Maraud, Marley's Freedom, Beyond Blaine, and Miss Kentucky. He's also making a name for himself internationally with French classic winner Singer. And with yearlings bringing up to $350,000, this three-time Grade 1 winner offers outstanding value. Blaine, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
McKenzie is starting to storm home in the center of the track. There's an eighth of a mile to go. Calixman is the leader. Here's McKenzie finishing strongly on the outside.
ultra-talented McKenzie blitzed a magnificent field in the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes at Santa Anita on opening day of the winter meeting, making him the Darley Stallion's Performer of the Week. McKenzie, now a three-time Grade 1 winner from just seven starts, is one of six Grade 1 winners on dirt by Street Sense since 2013. Only Bernardini, Tappet, Curlin, and Malibu Moon have more. For more information on Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with one furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vino Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner. Gronkowski was second. Hofberg was third. And Vino Rosso was fourth. Justify has done it.
An obvious highlight from 2018. Justify, the 13th Triple Crown winner. The voice of the Triple Crown, Naira, and the Breeders' Cup, Larry Comas, was on the call. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry, nice enough to join us now here this morning. Last segment for Larry because he, you know, got a lot going on this time of year. Hey, Larry, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Great to have you on, buddy.
Absolutely, and yeah, I've been super busy. In fact, I was just looking at the new wine refrigerator I bought yesterday.
Got to catalog the collection.
Yeah, this,
just hit this the year, just hit the on it, button, it, pal, and it'll work.
It's just nonstop for me this time of year. You know,
you can You can call on Tom to show you how to set up a spreadsheet so you know where your bottles are.
There you go. Good plan. I need to get bottles first.
Was that a hint?
I was a big hit. I got some Larry Comas approved wine for a party that I went to, and they flew out the door.
Excellent.
So it certainly didn't sound like from the call. It certainly didn't sound like American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown a few years back took anything away from Justify doing it this year for you, Larry.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's the Triple Crown, you know, and it's the moment that we waited for 37 years. And, you know, if it hadn't happened 3 years ago, you know, we wouldn't even be having any sort of conversation about Horse of the Year or anything like that. But, you know, I guess because American Pharoah, you know, won it 3 years ago, people just didn't think of it as such a big deal, you know, 3 years later with Justify. And I remember sitting in the press box at Belmont, the week of the Belmont Stakes, just a couple of days before the race, and ran into a couple of guys who had been in this game a long time and were around in the 70s. And just to get a feel for it, I said, was this the way it felt like when Seattle Slough was going for the Triple Crown? And the response was 100% yes. It was exactly the same thing because of Secretariat. Less people were excited about Seattle Slough. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I guess it's, you know, become what, you know, one of those deals where, hey, it happens all the time. Well, he's only the second one in 40 years. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, especially with all the things that Justify accomplished winning his Triple Crown, that he's not getting the credit he deserves. But I think in the end he will. It was a tremendous feat to pull that off in a short period of time and break the Apollo curse and Baffert. I mean, you know, two Triple Crown winners and more on the way, probably the way that it looks. So
yeah, he's got a couple of serious about to turn 3-year-olds, you know, with game winner and improbable and who knows who else. I mean, Justify hadn't even started at this point last time. So, I mean, we'll see what's ahead for this year. And if it's like the 70s, I guess we're due for another one this year. That'll be a long time after that. But, it's all to be determined. I thought Justify was just utterly fantastic, and the fact that he is the only undefeated Triple Crown winner ever, the only horse to win the Derby since Apollo. I mean, there's just so many things that he did, and I wish that he had kept running, and if he had kept running, it would have made things more exciting. But I totally understand the reasoning behind his early retirement, and it is what it is. And Accelerate, the other horse that everyone's talking about had a tremendous campaign, a horse of the year type campaign for sure. But to me, and I know you didn't ask me this question yet, yes, I am voting for Justify for horse of the year. But to me, it's just a Triple Crown trumps all scenario every time.
What other race during the year stood out to you, other than the Justify thing? What was the next best race that you called during the year?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because they're always I'm a lucky guy to call all these races throughout the year. We get to see such tremendous performances, and you get to the Breeders' Cup, and I think Enable winning the Breeders' Cup Turf the way she did was pretty remarkable. I have to think that was one of the most exciting experiences of the year. And listening to the crowd with Frankie Dettori urging them on, cheering for her as she came back after that victory and became the first horse to win the Arc de Triomphe and the Breeders' Cup Turf in the same year, that ranks right up there with me. The Breeders' Cup had some tremendous performances. Newspaper of Record was just incredibly impressive when she won her race. Obviously, Accelerate winning the Classic. So the Breeders' Cup always produces these high level and memorable performances. But outside of the Breeders' Cup and the Triple Crown, I'm trying to think of another one that really, really stood out, but there are just so many.
True Yankee at Belmont that day in the last, right?
I did have to call a horse with Yankee in the name, but the result was good in the end when October came around and the rightful team won the World Series. Okay.
Yeah, we had two Sox fans on today. Brian Bouillet from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame kicked off the hour. I guess it's appropriate to have the World Series champs represented on the final Equine Forum of the season.
Yeah, I think Miramati's a Dodgers fan, though, so it's okay.
Talking with Larry Comas, the voice of the New York Racing Association, the Triple Crown, as well as the Breeders' Cup. So since you were so quick to throw your hat into the Justify Accelerate argument, you brought up Newspaper of Record. That's an interesting vote. Now, you got to call all of Newspaper of Record's races, and you got to call Jaywalk's two big ones. In this day and age in the U.S., with turf racing really coming to the fore, is that a race in your mind? Do you just default to the dirt horse?
Oh, no, I think that's a really close race, I think, between those two as far as who the champion is. I went back and forth and back and forth, and I ended up going with Jaywalk because, generally you do stick with dirt over turf, but the way, and she had won two grade ones, which is, to me, that's another thing you have to look at. And I realized Newspaper of Record really didn't have that opportunity because there aren't really any grade ones for two-year-old fillies on the turf other than the Breeders' Cup. So, in that case, you can't really knock her for that, but the fact that Jaywalk did win two grade ones and is dirt made me pick her just by a hair over Newspaper of Record. But I think there'll be plenty of people voting for Newspaper of Record, and deservedly so. And by the way, and And I did say that without question, Justify would be my vote. If you vote for Accelerate over Justify, I have absolutely no problem with that, because I think that you know, he had that type of campaign, and you know, people have different views on these things, and I can understand that. My personal view is Justify, and I'm also going with Jaywalk, but man, Newspaper of Record was just, I think her performances themselves were more memorable than Jaywalk's.
Fair enough. I'm actually on the other end of both of the arguments. Maybe we can, maybe we'll meet up one night at the Meadowlands to talk about it.
That would be terrific.
You know, you mentioned before talking about when Jude mentioned the Baffert horses and the 2-year-olds. This is kind of a quiet time for you. I know we get the pleasure of having you here at the Big A for a couple of weeks, end of January, early February. You keep your eye on things, especially on that Triple Crown trail, because of the Derby and the Preakness and all of your responsibilities in NBC. Do you keep your eye on the 2-year-olds turning 3 this time of year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to, and you know, I try to go online and take a look at what's going on. I don't watch too many races this time of year. I like to sort of step away from it. I remember the stories with Trevor Denman. I always got a kick out of the fact that when he went up to you know, his farm in Minnesota during the time that his jobs were not at Santa Anita and Del Mar were not happening, he would just completely go away from racing and just have, you know, he wouldn't even have watched the Kentucky Derby, which I always got a big kick out of. But that was his way of you know, keeping himself fresh and getting away. And like you said, because I do call the Derby and you know, have to get you know, tuned up on those things, I don't completely step away. So you know, I know who Improbable is and horses like that have come around since the Breeders' Cup. So you know, I'm looking forward to watching some of those 3-year-olds as we, you know, get closer and closer. But it's good to stay involved just a little bit while you know, I'm sort of in hibernation mode.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out of your cave for a few minutes this morning. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm always good to. Always good to talk to you guys, and like I said, I'm going to be calling a couple of weeks at Aqueduct, last week of January, first week of February, giving our man Johnny I a couple of weeks off. People don't realize he works year-round at Naira and is a hardworking guy, and he needs some breaks too, so they're going to have me come in and get to call the Withers, so that'll be a nice 3-year-old race while I'm there, and I'm also next week going to go down to Gulfstream and just hang out and see everybody, see all my friends down there. So that's going to be fun, too, and get to check out Christine Lee's at its new location. So I'm looking forward to my trip down to South Florida for a week on New Year's Day.
All right. Well, thanks, Lawrence.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. Have a happy New Year, bud.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon.
See you in a month. One and only Larry Colmus. We got to get one more break. When we come back, Jude and I'll wrap 2018 here on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning 2-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his 3-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a ticket for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's, still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain, Jimmy John's, still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's, wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm a little insulted, Pontiff.
Why is that?
I don't think anybody liked my poll question.
Oh. Maybe it was too complicated.
Not the way I wanted to end 2018. I mean, really? Not one? Nobody? Not one. Wow.
It happens.
Whatever, dude. I mean, no, really. Thanks, HRRN Nation.
Maybe nobody's listening to us. Maybe everybody's out of town.
Oh, God.
you mean
hear about this?
We got up early and nobody responded.
Poll question, not today. Listen, sometimes the chicken, sometimes the feathers. What can I tell you, Ponta?
That's right. It goes like
that. It really has been, it's been a pleasure, as always. I can't believe I'm going to say this, wrapping my fifth year here at the network and certainly working with you on a daily basis makes this a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing it with you again in 2019, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we do have a good time. And once in a while we pick a winner, so. But the main thing is to be entertaining, in my opinion. So hopefully people get a smile out of us once in a while and have a good time in the afternoons when they're driving home. And we like to lighten the load a little bit after a busy day. So it's fun. We do have a good time.
Yeah, the day this isn't fun is the day it's...
Hasta la vista.
Something I don't want to do anymore. Yeah. No. I mean, it's supposed to be fun, right? We're all here. We like to make some money, but at the end of the day, we're here to have some fun. We get to be involved with the greatest sport they play outdoors. So, I wonder what the greatest sport they play indoors is.
If I need to explain it to you.
And on that note, Thanks, Lee. Play us out, my friend. We couldn't do this without you, HRR Nation, and we appreciate everything you do, from listening to taking part in our contests. We had the Gulfstream Park contest this year. Of course, all of your participation on the BridgeNet.com call-in show, all of your kind words on social media and reaching out to us, we appreciate it greatly. And we hope you all have a happy, healthy, and lucky new year. On behalf of Jude Feld, our producer Lee Delapina, and everyone at HRN, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you win all of your photo finishes the rest of this year and next year. Jude, you got something you want to say?
Good night, Barbados.